Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Sometimes Yankee fans want to get hit by a car.
On the right, babe. Not that Maggie. Back in time. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 3 hours as we take you to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side, and we got you again for 3 hours, as is our custom when we watch baseball games, and boy, did we watch baseball games. You just heard Alvarez's return, the excitement of that. Juan Soto comes through with a big clutch hit. The Mets bullpen, one hit down the stretch, as they pick up their guy, Kodai Senga, after a bad start from him. Really the first one of the year. And they rally and have a very big win. We will get to it. But the New York Yankees. What a big series against the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays had jumped out to a 3-game lead in the division. It was a 7-game lead over the Blue Jays in June. It is now, after last night's debacle, a 4-game deficit for the New York Yankees in this American League East as they continue. Forget all the other trends. Forget everything else. The New York Yankees are 10-17 inside the American League East, and they are owned right now by the Toronto Blue Jays. Owned! As they lose again last night, 4-1 in a game that just makes you nuts. All of the excitement heading into the series, right? I talked about it yesterday, the big game nature of this series. And yes, it's not a must win. We understand there are still 62 games. Last night was the 100th game of the season. But coming off of those two games in Atlanta, coming back, scoring the 12 runs, rallying from behind, then Marcus Stroman going out there and throwing six innings of one-run baseball, and you take the last two games after feeling like this after Friday. And don't worry, there'll be a little positivity at some point because that's what I do. But that same feeling we felt the first game back of the second half, getting their doors blown off with the what people will call the punt idea to go with the bullpen game in the first game of that series, and then to rally back, have that offensive explosion, find a way to win. Win on Sunday, win a series, head into Toronto, the hottest team in baseball since the end of May. The best home field advantage in all of baseball is now they have won 11 consecutive games. To go in there and to have the offense look like it did, which is a solo home run and that's it. And let's just start right there. Not good enough. Everything else we're going to talk about, whether it be Carlos Rodon or the two hideous, disgusting errors that probably annoy me more than any other play this year. Those two errors, back-to-back in that manner, probably annoy me more than any other BS we talk about, any other crap baseball we have seen, any forgetting how many strikes there are in a count, trying to make outs at third base, whatever else. Those two errors, to me right now, are the most frustrating thing I've seen from the New York Yankees all season. But before we even get there, this offense is completely shut down by Gausman in this game. Seven innings, one run. The only offense is Giancarlo Stanton's home run.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We see Jason Dominguez 0 for his last 18. Not much from him. A couple of opportunities after an intentional walk early in the game. Jazz doesn't come through. An opportunity late in the game. Judge doesn't come through. The offense looks lackluster. The offense doesn't do all that much. You're not going to win no matter what else happens if you score one run. They're coming off two good games. They're coming off an offensive explosion. They've been scoring a ton of runs into the break against the Cubs, out of the break against Atlanta. And with the season, again, not on the line, but pride on the line, after getting their ass kicked by Toronto in a four-game set, heading in against Gausman, who they usually play pretty well and perform pretty well against. This offense gets lulled to sleep. I know he threw the ball well. They were talking about it the entire broadcast. His fastball was up 2-3 miles an hour. At one point, he was throwing 97. Gausman, in his first start of the second half, was all geeked up to face the Yankees, and he absolutely put them to sleep. But then we get to the real issue, and again, the errors in this game. Now, Carlos Rodon. Let's talk about Carlos Rodon, because I spent a lot of time on him yesterday, about the moment, the big game, the effort you are looking from Carlos Rodon, a great season, the best batting average against in all of the American League, all-star, last outing against the best offense in the sport, Chicago Cubs, shut them down for eight innings. You're looking for him to go out there and give you an ace-like performance and shut down the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, you didn't get that, but I will tell you this. I leave that game feeling better about Carlos Rodon in big games than I did going into it. Not great. He wasn't an ace-like performance. He walks too many guys. He struggled. He did not have good command. But I don't know about you, right? And I'm just trying to be fair. We watch the games. I am not calling it an excellent performance. It's not an ace-like performance. It's not as good as I was even hoping for. But I watch this guy who has folded over and over again as a New York Yankee in big spots. Last time out against Toronto, got lit up. Last time out against the Mets in a big game, five-game losing streak, lit up. Carlos Rodon, while not having his best stuff, not having his fastball command, which you could get a sense of early with the amount of changeups he was throwing, and maybe too many changeups early is what happened to his fastball command, but he doesn't have fastball command. He walks five batters in this game. Only one of them score, and he gets leadoff double. He gets out of a jam. Bases loaded in two innings to start the game. He gets in the second and third. He gets out of the jam. He battles his ass off in this game. Now, again, I'm not throwing him a parade, but this is a dude we haven't seen like this. Let's just be fair. Not a great performance, but Mike Francesa, who I thought it was a good line, after his last performance against the Mets, called him the anti-Andy Pettit. The anti-Andy Pettit. And to me, and I know I'm going to get a bunch of crazies here calling me up, this was very much an Andy Pettit-type game. Did not have his good stuff. Allowed runners on constantly, yet made the big pitch. Got out of it. You go to the fifth inning against the top of the order. Lead off to Springer. A ground ball base hit to Guerrero. He gives up the double. Gives up two runs in the fifth. And then he goes and battles his ass off and has one of the longest, toughest at-bats we have seen in forever. I mean, it's a 15-pitch at-bat, just foul ball after foul ball after foul ball. He's throwing it in the zone. He's battling him with fastballs. He's throwing the changeup down. He's throwing the slider. Pitch after pitch after pitch. Pitch count rising and rising. And what does he do? He gets a pop-up for the second out. He's about to get out of the fifth inning with an opportunity to start the sixth inning and give the Yankees a chance to still come back at only down one run in the fifth inning. And then the nonsense jumps in. A ground ball to Peraza. Again, he's about to get out of the fifth inning, only giving up two runs, which he gave up two runs without having an out. Now he's about to get out of that jam and not give up a third run. He gets the ground ball after busting his ass in that fifth inning. And Peraza, who's here for one freaking reason. Well, a couple. One, because at some point, someone in the Yankee organization actually believed in this dude. And they decided not to ship him, and this is one of the names you'll get when you talk about the prospect hugging from Brian Cashman and the rest of the organization. Someone who we thought could be the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees 2 years ago instead of Anthony Volpe. And I'm not sure which one's worse. But this dude is here for one reason. As we wait to trade someone to bring in to replace him, he is there to play excellent defense. If Peraza is not a guaranteed excellent defender, he is useless to this team. And in that spot, in this game, against this team, in this building, for him to get that ground ball and throw it away and cost Rodon, cost this team, cost his teammates an opportunity to get out of that jam and give up the third run on a throw that wasn't anywhere close to the bag for a player who's here for one freaking reason. We've already seen he can't bunt. So the dude is the worst. He is literally the second worst hitter in Major League Baseball. The second worst. There is one other player who wears a uniform, who utilizes a bat, who is worse than Peraza. One. We've seen him in situations not be able to bunt. And now, although he has been good defensively, you don't get any leeway. Not if you're going to be the worst hitter in the sport. You have one job, to make sure the Yankees go into the dugout down one run. That is an absolute unacceptable. And I don't care. I wouldn't play him again, and we'll get to Boone. Trust me. I'll take my chances with Vivas. I don't care. That era pissed me off to no end. It wasn't a tough play. It was an easy field the ball, throw it to first, get the hell off the field and give your offense a chance to bounce back. Instead, the entire feeling of the game, the woe is me, here we go again, same Yankee crap, pops its ugly head up again in that inning, and then it's followed by Anthony Volpe back-to-back. How many outs does he have to get in that inning? I know he's not perfect. I don't know. I know we don't like Carlos Rodon. I don't care. He busted his ass, and he deserved better in this game. He's out of that inning with only two runs with a possibility of going batter to batter in the sixth because they need him, and they might have pushed him. They pushed him in this. He threw 40 pitches in the inning. 40! And then Anthony Volpe, the elite shortstop that he is, throws a ball in the dirt. Now, look, if we're being fair, does Goldschmidt have to make that play? Yes, it's in his glove. I don't care. I'm blaming Volpe, 100% on Volpe, but Goldschmidt's got to make that play too. But to give up two runs in that manner, in this game, against this opponent, where they are in the standings right now, the way they've played inside this division, the way this team played in the four-game set the last time they were in this building, that is unacceptable. And Anthony Volpe, someone who just out of the All-Star break, so much talk about Anthony Volpe, obviously. He comes out of the All-Star break. Even in the Friday night loss, he hits a bullet in the gap that Michael Harris runs down with a 20% catch probability, and it was a good swing. Then he has the two-homer game. He's got productive outs and productive at-bats in the Sunday game, and you're hoping that Anthony Volpe can start to build something. That Anthony Volpe can start to become at least a resemblance of what he was for the first 60 games this season. Defensively, what he was his rookie year when he won the Gold Glove. And you can try and take it away from him now, you can't. He was a good defender. He did earn the Gold Glove. He has been better the last 2 years. He is atrocious right now, and the idea that he allowed that moment to be too big for him, and that's the problem with him. Time and time again, these errors come at the worst time. Now, I know there's never a good time for an error, but this game, this series, that kind of easy play, that kind of throw, it's unacceptable. It is a killer play. And for a player who's desperate to build some momentum, to have that error that cost them the game. Now, again, they only score one run. Even without the Volpe error, they lose this game. But those two errors change the entire complexity of this game. Those errors are infuriating. And before we get to Boone, I'll just say, I don't even, you know, and maybe I'm wrong here, and I know many of you will think I'm wrong at 888-808-1019. I don't even know if you want to call this sloppy play. Like, it's not running, it's not making a bad base running decision on the base path. It's not missing the cutoff man. It's not nobody covering third. It is throws that these dudes have been making their entire life. Like, I don't even view that as sloppy play. I view that as unbelievably terrible defense. And I don't put it on the manager. I don't think of Miller Huggins or, you know, Buck Showalter or Bruce Bochy or Terry Francona or Lou Piniella or anybody else who'd get in their face would make them make those throws. But good God, in that moment, you can't have it. And then I normally don't get on Aaron Boone in the postgame. You know how I feel. He is going to defend his players over and over again. But you've probably heard it. I'm going to play it for you here. There has been one other instance in Boone's tenure with the New York Yankees that I felt his comments postgame that was continual over and over again about one player that continued to just flat out lie. There is a difference between protecting your player and flat out lying to the media, to the fan base, and even to the player. Now, I think things are said differently behind the scenes. I do. I think Anthony Volpe is well aware he is not playing good defense. I think the Yankees are well aware he's not playing good defense, but they won't say it. And there is a way to defend a player, and then there's absolute garbage. And the only other time that I have felt that Aaron Boone has given us absolute garbage was when he kept on telling us IKF was an elite defender at shortstop. That is the only other time that I have felt that Boone was talking absolute nonsense, and it couldn't be defended because it goes beyond defending a player. It's flat out lying. It's flat out not in the realm of reality. Hey, there were some good at-bats. People get mad at that. In reality, there probably were some good at-bats. I understand we don't want to point it out, but it's not flat out lying. This is hard to defend. These are the comments when asked about Anthony Volpe's defensive struggles this season.
Volpe, you've expressed your confidence in him multiple times, but why do you think he continues to have some struggles here defensively? 12 errors now, that's tied for most of any position player in the American League.
Yeah, I mean, it's a few too many. That said, you know, errors get handed out a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. So I'm not so worried about it. It's making plays. He's still making a lot of plays, but he hasn't been as consistent as, you know, he wants to be and as consistent as he normally is. So there's a few balls he's left on the table, you know, one tonight included. And those are plays, you know, he expects to make, and we need him to make too.
He's been walking around with ice on, I believe, his right shoulder. Is he okay? Left shoulder. Is he okay physically?
Yep.
What do you think it is then that has not allowed him to reach that consistency that he's had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a few extra errors. Like, I mean, that's, I get it. That's the separator of when he wins a gold glove and when he's not. He's still a top shortstop. He hasn't made a few plays that have generated a lot of noise.
There's also some metrics that have indicated he's taken a step back.
Because he hasn't made three or four plays. That crushes you a little bit. He's still making a lot of rangy plays. He's still making a lot of plays. He just hasn't been as consistent as he has in his first 2 years, and that's three or four plays we're talking about. And a couple games here, he hasn't completed some plays, and it's changed his overall defensive season.
5-1 for Carlos. Just what do you think it is?
Yeah, and I guess we're missing. There's another part where he calls him elite. He's still an elite defender. He's still a very good shortstop. And you listen to those comments, and I get it. And some of it isn't lying, to be fair, now that I've heard it again. He has made some rangy plays. His throws are atrocious. And in the biggest moments of the season, he has made critical errors time and time again. He leads not only shortstops, but all of the American League in errors. You can defend him and say, look, we still believe he can be an elite defender. He has been in the past. We believe it's in him. He's going through a rough stretch. It's not good enough right now, but we have every faith in Anthony Volpe that he will get back there. Do not continue to tell us that what we are watching is a good defender, because we aren't. That's not what he's been. He has not been a good defender. He's been terrible this season. And the idea that, oh, it's just a couple of plays, and they even said it, the metrics are even showing it. Every single defensive metric is showing the regression of Anthony Volpe at shortstop. His arm, which was an issue at the beginning of his career, and he didn't have the strongest arm for shortstop, it is now fully beyond a little bit of an issue. He can't throw the ball. And I don't know if he is injured. I don't know what's going on. The metrics of him as the first 2 years of his career, he was a good defender. You want to argue with me, elite, whatever? This is a dude who's been a good defender. He is terrible now. And you can't sit there and tell us what we're watching is good. Tell us you believe he will get back to being good. Tell us how he used to be good, and you see it coming. Do not tell us that the game we watched today is just, well, it's that one play, and other than that, you know, it's a couple plays. Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. That's the difference between a 300 hitter and a 220 hitter, a couple bloops. That's the difference between a 7 ERA and a 4 ERA. Yeah, no, a couple home runs. He is, and it's not just that he's making errors. He is making errors at the most critical moments in the most critical games. Whether it's against Baltimore last year, even when he was a good defender, he consistently does this in the biggest of games. I know yesterday I told you that I don't emphasize getting Suarez, that third base is not the biggest issue for this team, and in many ways I still feel that, but damn it, do they need a freaking upgrade at third base, because I can't watch Peraza if he's not going to make plays and not be able to bunt while being the worst player in the sport. And I can't watch, I'm sorry, I can't watch Anthony Volpe spit up all over himself and then listen to the Yankees tell me that he's still good and that what we're watching is good play. I know you're not going to kill him. Tell me you believe tomorrow will be different. And again, do I think it changes how Anthony Volpe plays? No, I don't think it does. Do I think that behind the scenes, they know that what the metrics are? I mean, we talk about how they are, you know, so analytical. Do you think they're unaware of the analytics, the defensive analytics that say he is struggling at the shortstop position? Do you think they are not aware that errors are bad and that he has too many freaking of them? They feel it necessary to protect this kid like I've never seen anyone protected before. And I don't know if doing it differently would hurt him, but this ain't helping. So while I don't put too much stock into the post-game sound, I never have for any coach ever, because typically when we talk about it, I remember Mike screaming, he sounds like Kotite. Yeah, because Kotite led a Jet team with no wins. This is the New York Yankees coming off a World Series run. It is different. I don't get hung up on it because for the most part, they've been winning. But like the IKF stuff, while we're watching terrible play, telling us it's good. Tell us you believe he can turn it around. Tell us you believe in him. We all get that. What we're hearing from the managers just doesn't make sense. And this team still has an opportunity to go win the series. Like, that's the other thing about it. Like, we have to just take a second. It is a bad game. It's those two errors drive me absolutely crazy. The Yankees were shut down offensively. They've got a young kid making his second major league start against the Blue Jays tomorrow in Cam Schlittler. But the back end of the middle of the bullpen did a good job. Everyone should be rested for tomorrow. We felt the same way Friday night after Atlanta, and the Yankees saved it and came back and won the next two games. The Yankees have now two huge games ahead of them with Schlittler and Max Fried with a blister against the Toronto Blue Jays, and they can't lose them. Not if you want to win the division. Right now, they're 10-17 inside the American League East. You can't win a division that way. They've lost six straight games against the Toronto Blue Jays. You can't win a division that way. You've got to find a way to win these next two games. They're imperative. They're not season over. They're not must wins. But if you want to realistically give yourself a chance with 60 games left at the end of this series, it's going to be hard down four. It's going to be damn near impossible down six. These are two huge games for the New York Yankees coming up. And the shortstop and the third baseman and everybody else better get their act together. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to the Mets victory as well. A huge hit from Juan Soto. A really great job from the bullpen. And Alvarez comes up after being down in the minors, hitting 11 home runs, working on his defense, working on his swing, comes up, has a huge game, a big double, and the New York Mets win a game you thought for sure they were going in the same direction they have been against Cincinnati, down 4-0 with Senga getting hit around a little bit through three, and the rest of the roster steps up, and obviously Alvarez is a major talking point of the game last night. And a big hit for Juan Soto, who, as great as he is, not enough of those moments. He got one last night.